Trump acquitted of both charges in Senate impeachment trial. And surprise said no one. Hey everyone, Andres off the record. I am actually recording this because I did record my thoughts earlier on the State of the Union address. And while I was doing that, I had an article pop up in the Wire talking about how Mitt Romney was going to vote that Trump is guilty. Like, okay, one Republican vote's going to go that way. Wasn't enough to stop it. So he's not guilty. So Mitt knew what he was doing. He was doing something symbolic. To what end is just in case for him. It's like one of those punts where, like, okay, if it goes wrong and Trump is really, really unlikable and he loses the election, that means I can run. Mitt, let me just give you some FYI here. You lost already. The same people you're trying to win over were the same people that saw through your farce. I supported you, man. I did. Until I realized you were nothing more than Obama light. And that don't mean skin color. I mean, you're basically your pattern or your behavior of just about everything you've done in public service mirrored that of Obama. So why did you want my vote to make me believe that you're actually conservative and uphold conservative values, and now you're espousing your faith as to why you couldn't vote to acquit Trump? You had to vote that he was guilty. You know it's bull. You know you were punting. You're trying to err on the side of caution. Where you been these past few years, man? Have you seen the farce that's been happening in Congress? Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you would love to get paid for not working? How many of you would love to get paid for not working for a week? Well, yeah, my company offers vacation pay, Andres. Well, when you're working for yourself, you technically don't get that luxury. All right, how about this? What if you get paid 1 month off? Let's take it a step further now, shall we? You get paid all summer. That sounds really cool, doesn't it? Okay. Check this out. 6 months. Who wouldn't want to take that job? Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your United States Congress. 6 months for a charade that we all knew was going to end up this way. Because the recession fears didn't help. I had posted something about, I think it was this time last year or a little bit earlier, that I posted something up on one of my social media things. This is before I really opened my show up. So I was just doing some social media postings here and there. And my office had an event coming up to talk about how real estate can work for you in building wealth and also establishing your path to wealth for retirement and stuff. And someone posted on it, says, "You're doing this when recession fears are everywhere." And I'm like, oh my goodness. Look, social media is not the place to try to hold an intense conversation. I just know it, just like you wouldn't text either. So what I did is just, I made a small response to say this is not one of those get-rich-quick things. It's not anything about that. Something that works in every season, down markets, up markets, and whatever. But that was the thing, though. People believed, you know, with the recession stuff. So when summer came around, I even did an episode on my main show about this, that is there a recession? And what does it mean for you? One of my most watched and listened to episodes, because I put that on YouTube also. I recommend you check it out, because I addressed it then, that this recession, if there is one, which there isn't, does not affect you because you're not you're not in the stock market. Because I made sure to clarify this is something that was happening in the financial sector, which actually always happens. And in this case, it's still booming. So the recession was the last play card for the Democrats. Because they couldn't get him on anything. They're like, oh my goodness, we can't get him on a scandal. We couldn't get him on this other scandal that we try to make up, and another scandal we try to make up that we can't get this guy. It's like, okay, let's get him where it really hurts. What's his greatest strength? The economy, stupid. So they went after the economy and said, oh, recession fears, this and that. Make sure all the media is parroting what we're saying. Because it's a hive mentality, you know? It's a hive mentality. They all parrot away what the Democrats' talking points are. So that didn't happen. That's when they're like, okay, are we going to hit the nuclear button? Are we really going to hit the nuclear button? It's a sad, somber.
No, so what is it? Yeah, sad and somber day.
Serious, sad, and somber day. We have to open an inquiry to impeach him over a phone call that he already released a transcript for. Because an anonymous whistleblower who claims to have death threats against this person that nobody knows claimed to have heard it from another person that heard it from another person that heard it on the phone call with Trump. No firsthand knowledge. No nothing. No quid pro quo. That's why they changed the charges in impeachment. It's not quid pro quo anymore. Damn it. Bribery. Let's get him on bribery and obstruction of Congress, yeah? So, okay, yeah, let's try to get him on that. And no witnesses. And behind closed doors with no Republicans involved. Just a completely partisan thing with all the Democrats in there. Didn't they? Oh, it's a serious, sad, and somber day today that we have to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution that we know was written by old, white, racist, homophobic Christian men who own slaves, which we have to undo, but we must uphold this precious document in the face of our necessity right now, because we need to impeach this monster who is an illegitimate president. No witnesses, no Republican contribution. And then when they acquit, because it was a serious thing to do, that we're taking a vote, we have to acquit. Madam Speaker, this is a very sad day for me. But I have to vote in favor of the impeachment. Cameras are off. Oh my goodness. Woo-hoo. Dude, can we get this over with? Woohoo! We impeached the bastard! All right. Impeachment's done. Are you going to give it to the Senate? Yeah, about that. Yo, Senate, Mitch McConnell, I need to talk to you. I have the articles of impeachment right here. I'm not going to let you look at it, but I have them right here, and I need to give them to you as soon as possible. Just wait a month or two, yeah? Because we need to talk about quid pro quo here. Like Mitch McConnell says, what do you mean? Well, see, Mitch, I'm willing to give you these articles of impeachment so you can proceed with the trial in the Senate, only if you do what I tell you to do. You need to get witnesses to hold a secondary trial against Trump and find him guilty. That's how I'll give you these articles of impeachment. Otherwise, I'm just going to hold them on until like October for an October surprise. And Mitch McConnell's like, we're going to acquit him. Give me the papers. No. We need you to call the witnesses, Mitch McConnell says. That's what your job was. All we have to do is review what you found, which apparently was nothing. And at the 11th hour, 11:59, Mitt Romney, I have a guilty conscience, and my faith in God precludes me from acquitting Trump. I have to vote him guilty at least on one charge. Okay, good for you. Good luck on your re-election. Trump is acquitted. Nuclear option failed. Iowa caucuses are imploding like crazy because the Democrats are trying to sabotage Bernie Sanders, who once again is getting screwed over by the Clinton campaign, if I'm not mistaken, because the Clinton camp was responsible for creating this so-called app that people used to vote, and it wasn't working that day. And it's sending shockwaves to the Democrats because they have no idea what the hell they're doing. And then you have situations where people are finding out that Pete Buttigieg, who self-proclaimed winner of the Iowa caucus, voters were freaking out, particularly one woman that was making the rounds. And she's like, wait. You're saying that he lives with another man? Are you saying that he's married to this other man? Yeah, he's homosexual and he's married to a man. It's like, oh, I don't want that in the White House. No, not at all. If anything, he should read the Bible. Oh, well, he's Christian. Then why does he not know about the part? Did he not read that a man should marry a woman? It's like, oh my goodness. Democrats can't get along. This is, they use intersectionality against us. And now it's the pendulum swinging the other way. No, it's funny to see all this thing implode. I have not had this much fun in politics in a very long time, because normally it's very, very nasty. A lot of people are talking about a divided country. Yeah, the ones who are dividing us are the liberals, the leftists. They're the ones that claim to have a monopoly on freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of practice, love, diversity, inclusivity, and accepting of everybody, except Christians, except Jews, except people that actually make money, except people that own businesses, small business owners, farmers, anyone that doesn't live on the West Coast or East Coast. They disparage anyone that doesn't agree with them. They hate any minority group that has issues with the ones that they hold dear. Anything what Dave Chappelle called the alphabet people, and then the plus symbols, because they have no idea what any of this is. They keep changing the rules. They keep moving the goalposts. They can't even make up their own minds about what the definition is of what, how gender is not sex and sex isn't gender unless it benefits their argument. You know, these are the people that claim to own tolerance. And they happen to be the most intolerant, violent people. They get the elite media, or the media elite, the access media, as some people call it. These people they're a hive mentality, always moving one way or another to just destroy the Republicans, destroy Trump, destroy Christians, destroy conservatives. And when they're caught in the lie, I didn't say it. So why are you saying it here? Oh, I'm being misquoted. You're being misquoted by yourself? It's your video. So I never disparage people, said Don Lemon. Then why are you disparaging them? Don't take me out of context, okay? I'm apologizing for something I didn't do. You didn't apologize. That's not here nor there, everybody. That's not here nor there. That's Don Lemon, really. It's like, okay. Folks, and you wonder who's dividing when you have someone, a conservative comedian named Steven Crowder, trying to reach out to the other side, like, look, this is my position, this is what I believe. I invite you to come have a conversation with me about our differences. And he gets assaulted and attacked. You have, Young America Foundation. They're trying to hold just a little table to announce an event that's happening at their campus. And they get mobbed. They get assaulted and the police just stand by. And who's talking about any of this? A conservative speaker, Michael Knowles, goes to university last year, gets assaulted by protesters and has an unknown chemical substance thrown at him. And because they have terrible aim, they missed Michael Knowles. But nobody talks about that. Nobody. Where's the story of the conservatives doing this? Mass shootings. Yeah, let's talk. No one talks about the Las Vegas one because that targeted Republicans. And country music singers tend to be conservative, supposedly. So no one talks about that. Even one of the contributors to a news station, I think it was CBS or NBC, made as much notice right after the attack and said, look, nobody really cares. I mean, come on, these were conservatives and Christians. Boom, she's fired. Because she got fired. But then when you have this massive shooting, which was the biggest one before that one, which happened in Orlando, where someone shot up a gay club. Oh my goodness, the shockwaves in this country. Obama had to talk about it. See, this is the problem that we have in this country, that we have so much intolerance. We lack love for other people. First off, the one who did it was Muslim. And secondly, it was a jealous gay lover. So a gay Muslim went into that nightclub to shoot up his ex and friends. That's not news. That's not noteworthy. Because it doesn't suit the narrative. All we want to do is have a conversation, folks. We want to have a conversation. Meanwhile, the media tries to shut us up. Twitter tries to block us, ban us. So does YouTube. So does Facebook. TikTok. Removing pro-life group for no reason. Reinstates them 2 days later. But the media says that Trump is the enemy of free speech. Trump is the one that's out to get those that are dissenters. Meanwhile, Obama was the one that arrested journalists that did not agree with him. Huh. These people are so desperate to lie to you continuously. That's why they woke up the monster within me, and that's why I'm contributing this to Off the Record. I didn't want to talk about this kind of stuff. That's why I stayed away from it for so long. It's like, but not even 1 year into my show, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need a place to vent. Off the Record, that's where I could vent. Thanks so much for listening to this particular episode. I encourage you, since you're on the page already, so if you already hit the link to the post page, the posting of this episode, you'll find two links, two videos. One for Rush Limbaugh being awarded with the Medal of Freedom, and the other, I can't think right now, so I'll get back to that in a moment. But the reason I'm mentioning this about Rush is because that's how the show got started. For those of you that haven't picked up my book, which I'm assuming is mostly all of you, if you're not into politics, you're not going to like it. But this is the early years of the show, the Andres Segovia Show, transcripts for the early days. Because before there was podcasting, there was type print, you know, newsletters type of things. And I molded my show that I did back then through the template that Rush did. Rush Limbaugh was my hero and still is. To an extent. I don't listen to him as much as before because the new media has kind of changed the way I experience radio. It's not really radio anymore. But he is the man that made me do what I do. And as I was exercising at home, watching and listening to the State of the Union, and to see that moment, you know, Rush Limbaugh just got diagnosed with lung cancer. And it's like, not like this. You just celebrated 30 years on the air, man. You know, and just the hate that he's been getting just because he was the first talk show host, ladies and gentlemen. He made talk radio. He's the pioneer. Everyone else has just strived to be like him. Everyone else wishes they could get a quarter of his listenership. Yeah. So, pray for a speedy recovery, Rush, and you earned that medal. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. Thank you so much for continuing the light of conservatism, and hold proud that letter that Ronald Reagan gave you, because you've been carrying on the ideology since then, when you started in the early 80s in that radio station, I believe it was Kansas City or Topeka, Kansas, one of those. What was the other videos on a post? Oh, yes. Unrelated to this, though. I might not post that video anymore. So just notice that you can check out the moment where Rush gets the Medal of Freedom. And obviously another great moment was when a family that had their the father fighting overseas in Afghanistan, Trump surprised the family by bringing the father home, and he was able to be reunited with his family live on TV. So that was pretty awesome. Great moment all around. Great moments in the State of the Union. The numbers speak for themselves, folks. And the left hate it. And that's it for this episode. I'll talk to you guys in the next one.